Praise the Lord. Gospel of John, chapter 8 and verse 12. John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 12. You can read, as I mentioned Wednesday night, that there are over 300 prophecies of the Messiah, messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. Over 300 of them pointing to the birth of Jesus Christ. And of course, all throughout the New Testament, you read the Gospels on the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ, and then all the writings of the apostles, all pointing to the church and the ministry of Christ through the church and through His people. Amen. We are a Jesus people. Amen. We are to be fully focused upon this wonderful theme of Jesus Christ, and today we're talking about Jesus, the light of the world. And I asked the choir to sing that song, and they sung it some years ago, and they just kind of put it all together, and it was great. Jesus, the light of the world. But let's read this verse, and we'll look at other verses here as well this morning. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In John's Gospel alone, there are seven different claims of Jesus Christ. Seven different things that He said, I am. He said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then in John 15, He said, I am the vine. And the seventh one we're looking at here this morning for John chapter 8, where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for light. I just want to start off by saying this morning, you probably don't know this, but Marcia and I almost became millionaires when we were a young couple. Very close. And actually, it was all to Marcia's ingenuity and her smart thinking. When our babies were little, and she would go in, and in the middle of the night, I often would hear the cries but didn't get up. All you men know what I'm talking about. The baby would cry, or there would be a need in the middle of the night, and she would get up and go in. And sometimes, I can't remember if it was all the girls or just maybe one of them, but they used a pacifier. And the pacifier would get lost in the dark. And so she would feel around in the bed for it in the dark, didn't want to turn the light on because she knew that if she did, it was going to completely wake up the baby. And sometimes she would find herself on her hands and knees crawling around under the bed, looking around for the pacifier that was going to solve the problem of the crying in the middle of the night. Didn't want to turn the light on. And so one morning she said, you know, I've got an idea for an invention. I said, really? What is it? She said, if there could just be a pacifier that was a glow-in-the-dark pacifier. And she even came up with a really cute name for it. And she called it the glow plug. And so she actually wrote out her idea and sent it into Gerber. This is a true story. It's true. She sent it into Gerber. Well, we didn't hear from them. They didn't even have the courtesy to write us back with this great idea. A couple of years later, maybe two or three years later, walking through the aisle of some department store, and we looked up on the shelf. There was a pacifier that was a glow-in-the-dark pacifier called a glow plug manufactured by Gerber. We could have been wealthy. That illustrates, I think, very, very clearly how important it is that we have light. Amen. In the physical world, we need light. In the physical world. As a matter of fact, the first visible creative act of our God in Genesis was Let there be light. He'd already spoke the worlds into an existence, but this first visible act was, let there be light. Scripture says that darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen. And that theme is repeated all throughout the Scripture, relating light to God and darkness to evil and wickedness. You'll see the theme again and again and again and again. Darkness being evil and light being compared to God. And there's more scriptures than I could ever read to you here this morning to reemphasize this theme. I'm telling you, this is a major theme in the Scripture. Again and again and again. I'm not talking about 10 verses. I'm talking about dozens and dozens of scripture in the Old and the New Testament that relate this theme of God is light. Amen. What's a wonderful theme? That God spoke it into existence, and He was able to do that because really that's who He is. God is life. God is light. Actually, Timothy describes this, or the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, speaks about God and who He is and even what His dwelling place is. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, only He has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. So even the place where God is, the place where He dwells in the light. That's His dwelling place. That's who He is. That is describes His nature. It describes even where He dwells. James chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. God Himself described as light, who dwells, His dwelling place is the place of light, and He is the Father of all light. Amen. So you can see that this theme in the Scripture is a wonderful theme as far as creation is concerned and physical light is concerned. But it's also true in the spiritual life and our spiritual existence. Just as much as God is light as far as physically the providing light, He is also the God who provides spiritual light for every one of us. You can see this theme in John chapter 1. Actually, John chapter 1 is the parallel to Genesis chapter 1 as far as describing this spiritual light. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's a wonderful thought there. In Him was life, and that life, His very life, His very existence was light. Glory to God. Amen. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, capital L-I-G-H-T, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Praise God. The only light that can change the darkness of a person's soul is the light of God. No other good experience, nothing else in their life can change them and can cause them to enter into real light. It's God who breaks on the scene and down through history in the Old Testament when nations and various groups of people would fall away from God and slip into darkness. God would step on the scene with a prophet. He would step on the scene with a voice and a manifestation of His power and His presence and bring light into that situation and change it and turn it around by the light and the life of God. Amen. Do you know that there are many nations of the world today that at one time had light, but today they are in darkness? England and Western Europe is a great example of this, because it wasn't that many years ago. You could just go back a little over a century, and England was not a place that was just secular in thinking. It was not a place that was anti-Christ and rejecting God. England was a place of great spiritual life, great revivals, and God raised up men like the Wesley brothers and many others. Even Moody traveled to England, and Finney traveled to England, and there were great times in the history of England where they were a bright, shining light of revival and the move of God. There's been a lot of years that have gone by now. England is in a desperate condition. There are now more Muslim mosques in England than there are Christian churches. When Emma Hamby came over and was on the Share-a-thon with us, Josh and Emma, Emma described the circumstance that she had as a child being raised in a small town in England, that there was not a church that they could go to where they could hear the gospel preached. There was not a place, there was no such thing as Christian broadcasting, Christian radio, Christian bookstores, things that we take for granted that are just easily available to us all the time. We can hear a radio broadcast. We can listen to Christian music. We can have the benefit of the gospel and of light. It's always available to us. That's not true in England today. You can't find this type of opportunity. She said when she was a little girl, instead of going to church, they would meet in homes. There would just be a few believers from the region that would gather together, and they would have their Bible studies and their church services. And as a little girl, that's what she grew up knowing. She's only, probably around 30 or something like that now. And so as a child, she didn't know what it was to enjoy the light of the gospel, except in a very small way. And that's what happened. It's just been one century removed, and now England is a place that is pretty much secular. Like I said, more Muslim mosques in England than Christian evangelical churches. It's shocking that it could be a place so many great men of God, so many wonderful preachers, so many great revivalists came from those nations, but because they rejected light and turned away from the Lord, now they are in darkness. Darkness. And the nation that used to send out many, many missionaries is now a place in need of missionaries to go in and to carry the gospel to them. Some of you may have experienced this, and I have over the years, going into places. Just a year or so ago, we went to Colorado to my brother's son's wedding, and we were in Colorado Springs for a couple of days, 3, maybe 4 days, and then we went on up to Denver area to just to look around and see what was going on up there in Denver. And I began to sense the first day that I was there. I began to sense there's just something about this place. What is it about this place? It's something I just didn't really feel right about that city. I got to looking through the phone book and the yellow pages, looking for a Christian bookstore. I only found two in the entire metropolitan area of Denver. We wanted to go visit one. We drove quite a ways, seems like it was maybe 20 miles to the northern part of the city to get there. And when we got there, it was a big disappointment. It was just a small little place. There wasn't much there. And the more those days went by, I realized that there was a real darkness over that city. And I've been in lots of places. And I was talking to Brother Milliken about this Friday night, and they have ministered over the years in the northern northeastern part of our country. And he said, just when you go there, you just sense just a void and emptiness and a darkness that is there because, for the most part, of the rejection of God, a rejection of the Word of God, more of a secular attitude that seems to prevail there. Men are in darkness because they choose darkness. Men are in darkness because they reject the light. I was reading about the Mexican cave fish. You can't imagine why I'd be reading about that, except that I was looking for this, only I'd heard about it and found out that there's this certain species of fish that live in the great depths of the ocean. And they usually are found in deep caves in the depths of the ocean. Interesting, they have eyes, but they're blind. They are they're completely pale from probably generations, maybe even centuries of the lack of exposure to light. And so even though maybe way back hundreds of years ago, that species may have been able to see and they may have had certain color to them, but now they're albino and they do not see. They cannot see because their existence has become the dark depths of that sea. Amen. Let me just remind you here this morning that if you choose darkness, if you choose darkness, then you are going to find yourself spiritually blind. You're going to find yourself spiritually in darkness. Jesus came in the world to provide light, but if you choose the darkness and go your own way, then it doesn't matter what spiritual experience you've had or opportunities you've had or even what you've known about the Lord. You can find yourself in a condition where darkness comes in and takes over, takes control of your life. One of the times that I remember sensing darkness so strong was the first time that I went to Romania in 1987 with Brother Huff and Brother Jerry Back. And we had gone into Romania we actually flew into Belgrade, Yugoslavia, what was the former Yugoslavia. And there we caught a train and went into Romania from that point. We got into that city of Timișoara, Romania in the night hours. I don't remember, way late, very dark. And you would think that when you pull into the train station, even though you're out there in darkness, you would think you pull into the train station and there's going to be light. But to my surprise, it was dark. There was no light. And all you could hear was the voices of crowds of people. And you couldn't see people. It was really kind of unsettling to be in a big crowd of people and not be able to see much that was going on. And some of the Christian friends, I didn't even know what had happened to my luggage. I thought, well, it's gone. Later I find out that some of the Christians were holding on to it and they had got it, and some of the brethren, they took it to the place where we were staying, in a hotel there in that city. But at that time especially, there was such a cloud of darkness. What was going on in the physical realm, you know, all the controls of the energy and the electricity and the heat the government controlled for them. All of that natural darkness that we experienced really was very much what was happening spiritually there as well. Oh, it's a dark, dark place. There was a heaviness in that place. Do you know the only place you could get relief from that is when you went to church? You could go to church and the big crowds of people would fill into these small little worship places, mostly churches, but sometimes places that they had to make as far as makeshift type places for worship, always packed tight full of people. So they were warm there because there was a lot of body heat in the place. A lot of people, there wasn't a lot of natural heat that was there, but it was warm there. It was warm spiritually. There was maybe not all the light that we thought that we needed, but yet there was just something about it. You sense the relief from the burden of the darkness in the house of God. Amen. It is a great experience to go into a place like that where you can enjoy God's presence even in spite of the darkness of the nation and all that they're experiencing. I have to take this just a step further and say that right here in the United States of America, there have been little pockets of places like I've described, like metropolitan areas in the northeastern part of the country that have become more socialist in their thinking and more, you know, anti-God, anti-Bible, rejecting of the truth of the Word of God. But we are moving at not a slow pace, but we are moving at a very, very swift pace now toward a secular type society here in our country. We're moving out of the light and moving toward darkness in our country. And the only thing that can turn that around is a move of God. The only thing that can change that is the light that God can bring into our lives. And when our light then becomes, our life becomes a light reflecting the light of God, because not only did Jesus say, I'm the light of the world, but he also commanded you and me to be the light of the world. Amen. And so now we are to be reflecting the light and the blessedness of knowing Jesus Christ to all the world that is around us, because it is a dark, dark world we are living in. I won't go into all the details of our American heritage, but I think it's really interesting that America has been called by a number of writers. The last person who publicly talked about this was Ronald Reagan, calling America a shining city on a hill. But there has been a struggle to keep that light burning in America, the light of truth, the light of the gospel, to continue to burn. But if you've ever read the book called The Light and the Glory, a history on the founding of our country and the early days of America, it's a tremendous book. Columbus, his very name meant Christ bearer. And he was convinced, he was daily very diligent to write in his diary, I guess you would call it, or his journal. He would daily write down the facts of the day's experiences that he had. Here's one of his entries. He said, it was the Lord who put into my mind, I could feel his hand upon me, the fact that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. All who heard of my project rejected it with laughter, ridiculing me. There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit, because he comforted me with rays of marvelous inspiration from the Holy Scripture. That was Christopher Columbus. He was a light bearer who felt called of God to do what he was doing. At one particular time, he was a great seaman and a great navigator, he lost direction. He didn't know where he was going, and they were just barreling at full speed and really didn't even know for sure what was ahead of them. But in another one of his entries, he said, we saw a very dim light. He said, it was like a small candle being lowered and raised. So they set it as their mark and pressed on. And they found the Americas, and there they knelt down, and he was the first one to step off of the ship. He knelt down and praised God and invited all those who traveled with him to praise God that God had given them the light to get to this wonderful nation of America. And I just went through that just to say, the light, this nation had its founding in light. Amen. The light of the Scripture, the light of God's calling, the light of God's direction and purpose. And so we are to be a nation that is following God. I still believe that there's hope for America to return to God. I still believe that we can have the light of truth and a move of God and a righteous effort to see this nation turned back to God. The writer Robert Louis Stevens, when he was just a little bitty boy, was looking out the window one night, and his mother came into the room and said, what are you looking at? Outside the window was a man lighting little gas lanterns that lit up the street. And he was just a small little child and really didn't know for sure what was happening. But Robert Louis Stevens, as a child, he said, I am watching that man punching holes in the darkness. Amen. Amen. Do you know, you may feel like you're insignificant, and you feel like that even our church could be, you know, we're not a big group, not really significant. Oh, but we've got a responsibility to be a light, to punch a light in the darkness of this region,
our place, our responsibility, where we are. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And then he commanded us to be the light in this world as well, to influence our world and our generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Men are in darkness because they choose that. The 400 years from Malachi to Matthew, there was a 400-year span of time where there was no prophetic voice. There was no word from God. It was just a time of spiritual silence. There were still, after those years, some who were faithfully carrying on the practice of worship and sacrifices and temple activities. There was such a darkness. And so when John stepped on the scene and began to say, there's one that's coming after me, talking about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, that it was so amazing, it was so wonderful that Jesus was going to step on the scene and then he was going to turn all of that darkness into light. Amen. But he came into the world and the world rejected him for the most part. Many rejected him, wanting nothing to do with what he was saying, rejecting his message. He came into his own. His own received him not. Can you imagine that many years where you'd never heard from God? That many years that you've never sensed God's presence? I mean, we have a 400-year history in our country and all down through the history of America. Our country is historically a land of revivals, one after another. Sure, there have been times of backsliding and turning away from the Lord, but our country is a country that has repeated times of revival and renewal. God would raise up someone who would declare the word of the Lord, and there would be different areas of the country where there would be an awakening and a revival all throughout this nation. We are a nation that has experienced God's mighty hand over our 400 or so years of history. Can you imagine nations not able to hear from God for 400 years? Can you imagine the hunger, the thirst, the desire that had to be in some who had been faithful to the Lord to see this light come? Amen. Like Simeon, who was old and waiting in the temple, and when he saw them bringing Jesus in, he knew, this is him. This is the Messiah. This is the consolation of Israel. This is the one. And he was, now I can die. Now my life is over because I have seen the Messiah. Oh, the hunger and the desire to see darkness dispelled. All around us, all around you, there is darkness. That's why it's so important that we be righteous, that we live a holy life. It's so important that our testimony be real, and that we have a real touch of God on our life, that we are able to live out a witness before the world. The world needs light. The world desperately needs the light of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4-6, for God who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The same God who commanded, let there be light, is the same God that commands that we allow the light of God to shine upon us, and then that our testimony be a reflection of that light everywhere that we go. If you spend time in darkness, if you fellowship with darkness, darkness and light can't coexist. Amen. Let's enter into the light that is provided through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And God is no respecter of persons. The wise men, no doubt, were elite, no doubt wealthy. Their gifts were very expensive. But the light of the star led them to the manger. Totally opposite to the greatest extreme as far as position in life were the shepherds. The shepherds were considered the lowest of the low. They were not honored in any way. They were not respected in any way. They were just on the bottom rung as far as their position in the social ladder was concerned. And they were considered like those that would clean the streets and just the lowliest of people. But yet, not only were the wise men warned, given the message of the light of Jesus, they followed that star shining brightly in the east. Those shepherds also, out there on those Judean hills, that sky lit up with the brightness of the glory of God, and they heard this glorious message as well. Amen. So it doesn't matter what your status is. It doesn't matter what position in life that you have. It doesn't make any difference. You can know the Lord, and you can be that light shining in a dark, dark world such as we live in today. Matthew 4, verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and of them which sat in the region in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus, who is the light of the world, and the influence that He has upon every one of us. And all of us here today, we can be that light to a world that desperately needs to know the truth. If we're not, then we're going to see our nation continue to move further and further and further away from the truth of God's Word. And oh, there's such a need for a people who will stand for God and live for God and be a righteous light in this world. Hallelujah. Jesus is the light of the world. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Lord, that You have provided for every one of us such a great potential, Lord, to be the reflecting light of truth to this world. And I thank You, Lord, that wherever we are, wherever You place us, whatever our job, whatever our responsibility, whatever our place in life might be, Lord, that You have called us to the light and You have called us to be light to this world. We thank You, Lord, that we can know You and we can have a relationship with You. Oh, Lord, how blessed that we are to know You. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord.